And the title of tonight's message is How to Conduct Yourself in the House of God. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to look into your word. We pray, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that if we have any problem in our lives, Lord, we can look straight to your word and we've got the answer straight there in front of us. Lord, we thank thee and praise thee for your word. Pray, help us now to understand what it is you have to say to us tonight, Lord. And pray, Lord, you'd give me a clear thought and a clear voice that people may understand. And Lord, we thank thee and praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, over to the past few weeks, Pastor James has been teaching on Wednesday nights about soul winning. About us being a soul winner for Christ and so how we can fulfill the Great Commission. There were two lessons that got me thinking about what Pastor James was saying. They were the presentation of the soul winner and the practice of the soul winner. These lessons pressed upon me the importance of how we present ourselves and how we act. So when Pastor James asked me to speak on the Wednesday nights that he was in Sydney, these two lessons came to my mind. I thought how we could apply these two thoughts to ourselves when we are here in church. How we present ourselves and how we act or conduct ourselves. And for those of us who weren't here last Wednesday night, I spoke on the topic of dressing for God. We saw that as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they needed clothes to cover their nakedness. Man tried to cover his nakedness but failed dismally. Today's fashion industry also fails to cover man's nakedness. In fact, it's no mystery that the fashion industry run by sinful man is out to reveal what God wants to cover up. God requires that we as Christians separate from worldly fashion and dress ourselves modestly. So tonight we're going to take a quick look at how we should conduct ourselves while we are here in church, while we're listening to the preaching and the teaching. Amen? So, 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So God tells us there is a certain way we should behave when we're in the house of God. Again, I'd like to thank Brother David Cloud for his website ministry where I got some of this information from. I'd also like to encourage each of you to take a look at his website. If you enjoy reading the O. Timothy magazine, then you'll definitely find something good and godly. You'll definitely find some good and godly reading, better than any so-called Christian bookstore.
That's right.
And there's over 70 e-books on various subjects, all for free. There's also stuff you can purchase, but I think it was 77 I counted e-books that you can download for free. Okay, so let's take a look at four areas where we could all improve here at Coastline. Number one, sit respectfully and alertly. Your posture and body language affects the preacher. It affects those around you, even the entire atmosphere of the service. Body language says a lot. The pastor can see you up here. I was sharing with the teens on Sunday. I'm not like Pastor James, who can walk around speaking without their notes. Looking around the congregation, I'm usually face down in my notes for most of the time. But when I do look up, I can see if people are listening or not. So if I can see that, with my occasional glances around the room, just imagine what Pastor James sees. He's always looking around. People think they can hide behind the person in front of them and the speaker won't see what they're doing. This is not the case because the vast majority of people are actually looking at the preacher or speaker and the speaker's attention is actually drawn to people who are looking down. The speaker's attention is drawn to the anomaly of someone talking or looking at the floor or even asleep. That's right. People who are asleep. I have seen people, when Pastor James has been preaching, asleep. Get some sleep, people. It's glaringly obvious to me. What do you think Pastor James thinks? Young people, you should not be allowed to sit together unless parents know that you're spiritually minded and serious about seeking the Lord. Amen? If they're not here for the preaching, they will become a distraction to each other. Parents, have them sit with you or another adult. Last Sunday, Sister Bargie asked me to sit with her boy because she was having a few problems with him distracting her. He was distracting his sisters. Praise the Lord. I sat with him, and although he didn't listen to the preaching, my presence next to him greatly reduced the distraction to his sisters and others around him. Who knows? The Holy Spirit may be ministering to Sister Bargie's daughter, and her son is distracting her to the point that she misses out on something vital from God's Word. If you are here to get fed on God's Word, then we need to have respect towards God and God's messenger. Be alert, ready to hear what God has to say to us. So number one, sit respectfully and alertly. Number two, don't distract others. Examples of things that distract others. Talking, writing notes between people, making noise, playing with babies, children running back and forth. Parents, I know we don't have a creche. It would be fantastic if we did have a creche, but we don't. So please do your best to control your child. If you need to bring down the rod of correction on the seat of understanding, quietly take them outside. As we all know here, after the Sunday school, Brother Andy is on the door. As I told you last week, I've been there now for coming up to 9 years. Amen? When Coastline first started, I sat in the front row. Why? Because there was only a front row. Amen? Me, Huey and Colleen, and two other families. I still get to sit there on a Wednesday night. Amen? But Sunday services, I need to be at the back or close to the back so I can attend to any latecomers or deal with things that might arise. A lot of the time, it can be putting out another row of chairs because a family has arrived late and there is not any seating left at the back. I can't get them to take a seat up the front because that would be too much of a disturbance. Church family, what's wrong with the front seats? If you all sat a bit closer, there would be spare seats at the back for the latecomers. And as I've already pointed out, you can't hide from the speaker. So why sit down the back? Eating and drinking. Here at Coastline, we have a break between the Sunday school and the main service. We have refreshments, coffee, tea, hot chocolate, water, and usually a biscuit or two. Praise the Lord for the ladies that make that happen. Amen? Amen. On occasion, some people even baked a cake, eh, Huey? We have about 20 minutes to fellowship and get a drink and prepare for the main service. This is the time, parents, to get your children off to the bathroom. And that goes the same for adults. It amazes me that Fred, who is 80 or so years old, whose faculties are probably failing him, can sit through the main service after having a drink at the break without having to go to the bathroom. Amen? But younger adults get up and go during the service. Besides noisy children, this is probably the most distracting thing that happens in our services. Adults, please use the bathroom before the service starts. After the break, Sister Cindy starts playing the piano accompanied by Kathy and Danica. This is a signal to sit down. By the time Pastor James is standing behind the pulpit asking for you to take a seat, it's already too late. What he's really saying is, hey guys, didn't you hear the orchestra playing? Hurry up and get a seat so we can start. Now, as far as the food and drink is concerned, there's no need to bring it back to your seat for the preaching. Not only will it be a distraction, but it invariably gets knocked over, making a mess that we need to clean up after the service. And unlike the person behind the pulpit, we won't be talking, so we don't need to lubricate our throat. We've already done that during the break. Number one, sit respectfully and alertly. Number two, don't distract others. Number three, listen well. Listen with compassion towards the preacher or speaker. God uses all kinds of men, not all the powerful, fascinating speakers. Maybe Paul wasn't. If you want to turn there quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10 says, "For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." Jonathan Edwards preached one of the most famous sermons, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." But Jonathan Edwards, was not a great speaker. In fact, he simply read the sermon. The preacher who was instrumental in the conversion of Charles Spurgeon was not a mighty speaker. Spurgeon described him as a very simple, uninteresting speaker. Yet how greatly God used him. Let's hope for me yet, Huey. God can use weak men. An example is Solomon. He had many problems, but God used him to write three important books of the Bible, including the book of Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom. Our eyes must be upon God and not upon the preacher. Listen to the preacher as you would want people to listen to you, and avoid a critical attitude. Listen prayerfully. Nothing significant is accomplished apart from prayer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Pray for yourself, pray for the preacher, and pray for visitors. Listen attentively. Listen as if Jesus Christ was speaking. 1 Peter 4:11 says the speaker is to be the very oracle of God, meaning his mouthpiece. If you listen carefully and seek something from the Lord, you can be edified even from a seemingly boring message. Lazy minds don't learn and grow. Don't let your mind wander to other things. Luke chapter 8, verse 18 says, "Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken that even that which he seemeth to have." You won't get anything from the preaching if you don't listen attentively. Listen with an open and submissive heart. God's invitation is extended throughout the message and is not just at the end. Let God speak to you. Let him reprove, rebuke, and exhort you. Don't think that the preaching is for somebody else. Don't make excuses for your sins and faults. Listen discerningly. The Bible warns that we must not put our trust in man. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." We must carefully test all preaching by the word of God. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, talking of the Bereans, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." And 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good." Amen. And listen studiously. Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have a paper and pen ready so that you can write something from the message. Write things in your Bible. Important things such as cross references, definitions, important thoughts. What God is saying to you through the message. Take notes of the important points. Write down things to study later. You could write down what the Bible verses that I've been reading out, because I might have got it wrong. So write things down to study later and things to share with others. This will help you remember what is preached. But sit respectfully and alertly. Don't distract others. Listen well and treat the invitation seriously. Respond to the invitation as the Lord leads and pray for others. It is important to be quiet until the last prayer is finished. Some people are so spiritually insensitive that they start preparing to leave during the invitation and final prayer, shuffling around, folding papers, zipping up Bible cases, digging keys and purses out of purses, etc. This is very distracting to those whom the Lord might be ministering. I'd like to finish with this thought. This is the house of God. Do you know how thou oughtest behave in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of the truth? How will you conduct yourself and your family? Will you respect and honour the one who suffered so much and gave his life for you? Amen.